Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We had some state lawmakers joined us on that call, and we had hospitals represented on that call. One notable absence that I just want to, at the onset, express my frustration. We had given the governor's representatives a long-term invite in regards to participate in this roundtable to really try to figure out what is going on with this nursing home crisis, what is the historical point of view, where do we stand today, and then how do we move forward to make sure that our seniors are protected. And I got to tell you, greatly disappointed that 40 minutes prior to this call, we were advised that no one from the governor's office would be in attendance participating with us in this discussion. Doesn't surprise me, I guess, in the sense of the governor has not talked to me in 3 years, even though I've extended personal offers to speak with him about not just this issue, but many issues that impact New York. I'm giving him my cell phone and other personal times that are available 24/7 to discuss any issues, and obviously have not received one call in 3 years, let alone even in this crisis where you have 6,800 dead seniors that are owed an explanation in memory of their death and their souls as to what happened with them. And so I can just tell you right now that I am very disappointed in regards to the lack of response as a member of Congress that represents 717,000 people. To have just a blatant disrespect to that voice and to those people to be shown by the governor and the governor's staff that were also invited to participate in this is just appalling to me. And it just shows you what's really driving this nursing home crisis in New York. The governor's more interested in being a show horse than a workhorse, and shame on him. The souls of those 6,800 people are not going to be lost on me. I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that their legacy is taught and listened to in regards to what happened to them as a result of the disastrous policy that we went through in regards to the COVID-19 order that the governor himself issued, is my understanding, that he demanded and ordered that COVID-19 patients would have to be put in nursing homes in New York State, exposing that population that we all knew was the, and we know today, is the most susceptible population when it comes to the coronavirus. And to have an order on March 25th, where all of us spoke in one voice saying, this is reckless, this is dangerous, and to be put on prior written notice, as we had the author of the letter delivered to the governor on March 26th, that put him on notice that he was creating clear and present danger to those senior citizens by this order. And it wasn't based on any data. It was not based on any CDC guidance. It was not based on any guidance issued by CMS or others. It's just appalling that he has stood silent in regards to explaining why that order went forward. And to blame it on somebody, an outright lie about that in order to cover tracks, is just despicable when it comes to this situation. That being said, we had a lengthy conversation in regards to the change in that order, and now the testing requirement that is being put on our nursing homes of twice a week testing, which, again, from all the input we received on the call today, is not based on science, not based on data, not based on best practices anywhere in the country. What we heard is that the people that are collaborating on this issue with nursing homes across the country are coming up with truly best practices based on science, based on data, where you have testing based on the prevalence of the virus in the community, that you tailor the testing requirements so that you have an initial baseline test done so that you can gauge the exposure in the nursing homes in regards to staff and residents, but then base it on observable situations where testing needs to be followed up on in regards to staff exhibiting issues of COVID-19 positive potential situations. And to see this twice a week testing that are not based on science, not based on data, reaffirms again, we're dealing with a show horse, not a workhorse. And it's all about trying to publicly atone for this drastic decision that was issued on March 25th and sentenced 6,800 of our seniors to death and essentially killed them as a result of this reckless decision. Going forward, we had a lot of good input on the question of what do we do? What do we do? And a lot of good input on that tailoring the testing and surveillance of the risk of the virus around the state and trying to do that at a more local level and not a one-size-fits-all. A lot of good input in regards to separating COVID-19 senior citizens that are positive, making sure that the positive patients, the positive residents that are seen are isolated and separated from their fellow residents in the nursing homes, and that they have facilities that are designated to have a separation, what they call cohorting, in regards to having those cohorting effects so that the COVID-19 positive seniors are treated separately and get that care that they need that's appropriate for their level of symptoms that they're exhibiting. And then as they go through that process and get the treatment that they rightfully deserve, that once the virus is no longer in the system, then you return them to their residence back into their nursing home facilities from which they came, or assisted living facilities from which they came. And so I think there's a lot of wisdom in that approach, and we would encourage the governor, you know what, I will work with you, even though I find your decision despicable and the way you've handled this situation to date and your despicable way of for trying to blame others and not take responsibility for this situation. Doesn't mean I don't care about the hundreds of thousands of seniors that are in New York that are potentially at risk because of this. And I'm looking to move forward in a way to use best practices to make sure that those seniors are protected. And so hopefully the governor will listen to this, and that we will see a change in policy even yet again that's based on science, that's based on data, that is based on input from the collaboration, from the experts in the fields, that will come up with a system that works rather than worrying about optics and PR value in regards to what's going on at the present time. So with that being said, I would also encourage the governor, you have to answer the question of cost of this testing and this burden that you're putting on our nursing homes. Because the state and nobody on the call, the Zoom meeting that we had, can explain to me where the $750 million that the state has received as a result for testing this requirement. The state has received $750 million of cash in its checking account. And we have heard that not $1 has been distributed to any of the facilities that are deploying this testing resource as we speak. It puts our nursing homes' financial condition at risk, which means they can't service their population, which means they can't cover their staff, they can't cover their payrolls. And if those nursing homes have to shut down, I think the governor needs and owes an explanation as to what is going to happen to those thousands of seniors that are now not going to have a residence to live in within because those facilities can't handle this burden. And that $750 million, legitimate question needs to be asked, in my opinion, of the governor. Where is that money? Where is it going? What is it covering? And what is it being utilized for? And then one last point that was brought to my attention and again reaffirmed to me. Think about these seniors right now that are tied up in this. that you have seniors sitting in hospitals as we speak because the order has changed so that the hospitals cannot discharge a COVID-19 positive patient to any facility to a nursing home facility until they show that they're clear from the virus. So you have senior citizens now, that's been brought to my attention, sitting in pretty much ER status in a hospital, not being admitted to the hospital, not being given a discharge order where they could go to a facility and get the treatment they need for their COVID-19 positive condition. They don't need hospital services because their symptoms are of such they don't require admission to the hospital. So these senior citizens are sitting in our hospitals just in limbo. And it doesn't make any sense to me as to why the governor's order has gone down this path of tying these senior citizens into a facility that is not appropriately appropriately taking care of their medical needs in a way that is something that takes the senior citizens' perspective into it. And so again, that's why we need those facilities that are designated for COVID-19 separation and get these senior citizens to those facilities that they deserve. And then at the end of the day, return these senior citizens to their assisted living facilities, to their nursing homes, to the places that they know are their home as quick as possible. And that is also jeopardizing our hospitalization capacity. I heard that loud and clear. You know, as we all know, the metrics are such that we need a surge capacity in our hospital system in order to keep our regions open economically, to continue to allow the hospitals to meet the healthcare needs with surgical services and outpatient facility services. And because the seniors are now stuck in this limbo of ER status in our hospitals for 30, 45 days, that is taking up that capacity and putting our regions that are economically open now at risk of being shut down. That's not acceptable to me. And so a lot of questions raised, a lot of good input from the providers. Wish the governor had participated so we would have heard from him and his staff as to why they do why they did what they did, why they're doing what they're doing, and why we cannot come together to try to figure out a path forward that really takes the patients, the residents of those senior citizens' interests to heart and do it right. So that's what I had to offer in my opening remarks. I know we have some state elected officials with us, and Mr. O'Meara was with us on the call. So maybe the first time, go around, Nate, and you take over the helm.
Great. Yeah. Let's start with Senator O'Meara.
All right. Thank you. And thank you, Congressman, for putting this together. The call just prior is very helpful, but it just sheds light on the fact of what nobody knows of what's going on in our long-term care nursing home industry these days, based on the governor's extreme flip-flop from one extreme of requiring nursing homes to take COVID-positive patients to now saying that they cannot take COVID-positive patients. It is not in line with what CDC guidelines are. Cuomo has been completely inaccurate on his statements on that. You know, I credit the Association of Post-Acute Care and Long-Term Care Health Professionals, nationwide organization representing healthcare providers, the doctors, the nurses, the therapists in nursing homes and long-term care facilities, that the day after the governor's initial order sending positive nursing home patients back into the nursing home. You know, it was like throwing a lit match on a field of dry brush and expecting that everything was going to be okay. You know, that the statement the day after that went to the governor from that organization stated that the policy was inconsistent with safe patient care. And then 3 days later, that association, joined by two other nursing home and long-term care associations, national associations, penned another statement that went directly to the governor So two statements within 4 days following that order, stating just what a problem that was, with no response from the governor's office and no response to date. It's appalling. You say you have trouble, Tom, getting return phone calls from the governor. Well, as a New York State senator, it's unfortunate, but I have the same problems. We finally came back into legislative session yesterday. We moved an amendment, the Republican conference of both the Senate and the Assembly moved an amendment to end the governor's executive powers. The majorities of the legislature, led by extreme downstate liberals, unanimously voted not to revoke his emergency powers and get the legislature back in the game of checks and balances with the legislature, the governor, and the judiciary's three branches of government. You know, if we, with these statements that I've mentioned, had some open discourse on the floor of the legislature, some debate on these issues, perhaps we could have ended that policy much sooner. But now we've got the knee-jerk reaction for the governor to cover his behind with, requiring nursing homes to now test all of their staff twice a week. I have seen from no medical association or authority that makes any medical necessary sense whatsoever. It's going to come at a cost of about $45 million a week to our healthcare industry to provide what has been described as not medically necessary testing. Again, today in the legislature, in the Senate, the Republican conference moved that $100 million of that CARES Act funding that you mentioned previously, that $100 million of that be directed just for our nursing homes to help with testing and other aspects, PPE for nursing homes. Again, the downstate majorities of the Senate unanimously rejected that amendment to provide that relief for our nursing home. I believe that the majorities of our state legislature are content to continue to hide behind this governor, to let the governor make the difficult choices that should involve discussion. You know, we're moving to reopen our economy. Tomorrow is the 14th day from phase one. I've been asking every day for the last 12 days, what businesses are going to be included in phase two and what requirements are they going to have? I'm consistently told from the governor's highest level staff, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day. Still nothing. We're about 10 hours away from Friday when phase two can commence. We don't even know if it's going to commence at the governor's whim at this point right now. It's extremely frustrating to businesses, and it doesn't make sense with trying to proceed with reopening business in a safe and steady manner going forward, so that we keep the health crisis in check. It's not going away. We've got to learn to live within it. We've got to learn to continue our social distancing and other aspects of being safer, which we have proven we can do. Individuals are doing it. Businesses that have opened are doing it. We've got our metrics in order in the Southern Tier and in the Finger Lakes regions that we should be proceeding with phase two, getting those businesses open, getting our economy running again. But I've gone on too long. Thank you, Tom.
I appreciate that, Senator. Nate, continue.
All right, let's go to Senator Borrello.
Oh, thanks. And again, Tom, thank you very much for hosting this and bringing attention to this. You know, I think we obviously know the lost lives that occur because of the governor's error. And I think anyone who has, you know, any kind of a thoughtfulness to say, okay, you know, we were in unprecedented times, but the arrogance to double down on that bad decision, which is what he has done now, is what's truly egregious. He is punishing nursing homes and assisted living facilities for his mistake. And then what is the end game here, Governor? Are you going to assess a fine? So what's more important here, the testing, which we tried to provide funding for today as Senator O'Mara mentioned, or is it about collecting a fine for those that don't do it? Because there's no remedy here other than a fine. And on top of that, you know, this is, people want to try and dress this up as a partisan issue. Let me tell you that we offered to help reopen Lakeshore Hospital, which closed a few months ago, which could have accepted some of those at-risk folks instead of sending them back into nursing homes. That was supported by County Executive Mark Poloncarz in Erie County. He actually brought my name up in one of his press conferences. So this is not about partisan politics. This is about what are you going to do to protect those vulnerable citizens. On top of that, we had the USS Comfort right in New York Harbor that was virtually empty. California used the USS Mercy, is my understanding, for many of their COVID positive patients. So where's the leadership there? And now what I'm hearing from people that that are nursing home operators, assisted living operators every day about the fact that they may have to close. Where do we put those folks now? Is the governor expecting you're going to just wheel these people out into the parking lot? I mean, there is no plan here. And on top of that, there is money, as Tom said. And let me tell you something. Not only is there money for that from the federal government, he is withholding $134 million that he received for childcare. So literally from birth until being a senior citizen, the governor is withholding critically needed funds that should have been distributed weeks, if not months ago, to address the emergency situation through the CARES Act. What's the end game? There isn't one. What's the policy? What's the plan? And now it's cost thousands of lives, and it's just unacceptable.
Sorry, I was on mute there. Thank you, Senator. All right, let's go to Martin Stallone.
Oh, hi, I'm Marty Stallone, the CEO of Cayuga Health. I certainly agree that at this point, clarity is needed on a number of topics. And on behalf of hospitals, I certainly, there's some outstanding questions that need to get addressed. There's a rationale that's needed for the policies. So in our health system, we do own an SNF, Seneca View. And so hospitals are often cooperating with SNFs, and there's a lack of clarity around the interplay between patient placement in hospitals versus nursing facilities. Certainly, as Representative Reed mentioned, there needs to be authority given down to a local level to come up with clear, scientifically based plans that allow for topics like cohorting, protecting patients, appropriate levels of PPE, safe discharge plans to be exercised in accordance with the capabilities that actually exist at the local level. There's another big lack of clarity in payment for testing. Many hospitals are stepping up to fulfill the testing requirements within counties and even into adjacent counties. And there's a lack of clarity at best and now emerging payer statements and policies that claim the deemed medical necessity for testing does not apply because of a misinterpretation of the law. And so this is a fair question, but needs to get rapidly answered, or there will be a dampening of the testing enterprises that are growing around us, which are understood to be a hallmark of the reopening strategies that many institutions and industries are relying upon. So my main theme would be that clarity is needed on a lot of levels that doesn't exist right now. So with that, I'm in agreement. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Stone.
All right, now let's go to Mary LaRoe. Let me make sure. You should be unmuted, Mary.
Thank you, I am. I appreciate it. I would certainly echo the comments that Marty just made, and I think we're equally concerned of the viability of the nursing homes around us. But as a hospital, we're also equally concerned about our future. And obviously, the phase one and the ability to bring in some revenue is going to help us going forward. But I think that the whole testing piece has been a debacle from the get-go. And certainly we're willing to support our nursing homes going forward, have actually partnered on some of the testing. But as a small rural, I think I had shared this earlier, is we have a census of about 16 patients on our med-surg unit, and 25% of those patients are waiting to go back to the nursing home. They have had their tests done, and it is taking anywhere between 2 to 5 days, depending on the laboratory system that you use. Hopefully we'll get those answers today. But it does provide some concern about our capacity and the ability to have the appropriate number of surge beds available to continue to do those elective cases and to see us move into the next phase.
All right. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Mary. All right. Mike, I believe I should have just unmuted you as well.
Sure. Hi. Thanks, Mr. Reed, for inviting me just to speak briefly on behalf of the nursing homes, specifically here in the Southern Tier in Chemung County. I do echo Dr. Stallone's comments as well. A lack of clarity on several fronts. I would certainly advocate that the state moves in a direction to provide more clarity specifically to nursing home operators. And we're looking for a strategy that's based in science, data, the medical community. We're very fortunate in our area to have a lot of really intelligent people working on these problems and have valuable input on how to successfully work together and how to cohort patients, so the things that Mr. Reed talked about. So I think as we move forward, you know, from the nursing facility side, we also, you know, I would be remiss if I didn't speak to the concerns I have for our staff who are working on the front lines in nursing facilities, those individuals who are undergoing extensive testing. It's not really necessarily based in any science or data. It is concerning, especially for those who are receiving the invasive type tests that are, you know, very uncomfortable. So that's kind of my two cents on the issue. And again, thank you for allowing me just to speak briefly.
Thank you, Mike. All right. So now we're going to go to the question portion. We are going to do our best to let everyone ask the questions that they'd like to. I'm just going to go through the news outlet. Yes, go ahead.
Mike just said that also, I don't know if all the news reporters are aware of this, but you know, we have this mandate from the state of twice a week testing on all the skilled nursing facilities staff twice a week. But it has also been brought to my attention that the state is sending in their state employees to these nursing home facilities, to these skilled facilities, and they're doing work in those nursing facilities, and they have not been subjected to any testing. So state employees are going in, interacting with these seniors, interacting with these staffs, interacting with these facilities with no testing whatsoever. But the governor has, by edict, said that the nursing home staff has to be tested twice a week. Where's the logic in that? Where is the rational basis based on science that says it makes sense to send in staff and New York State employees with no testing, and you have nursing home staffing that's being tested twice a week? That makes no sense to me. And that was one of the questions that I was hoping to have answered from the governor's representatives today. But again, shows you that this policy that we're dealing with on nursing homes is not based on science and data. It is based on trying to cover up a situation where a fundamental error led to the loss of life of 6,800 seniors of New York State. And now we're dealing with the decisions politically that are being made in regards to this issue going forward. So I apologize, Nate. It was a point I wanted to address.
Absolutely. All right. So I'm going to try to go through and give each news outlet the opportunity to ask a question. You should be able to unmute yourself if you hit *6, or please just in the chat say that I've skipped you. But let's start with 13 Wham. Was there a question you all wanted to ask? Okay. How about WGRZ? I think I've unmuted you all as well. Okay.
Well, I think you might be having a technical problem. Make sure. Wham 13. Let's go back there. Are they here? Just want to make sure it's working.
No, absolutely. Wham 13, you all should be unmuted.
Just say no question if you could.
Let me make sure everyone is unmuted as well.
Tom, this is Chris Jacobs. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Senator Jacobs. Please go, Chris.
Yes. Sorry, I'm not video. I'm driving back from Albany. And I, you know, when you talk about this instance of requiring all the nursing home workers to get tested twice a week now, but the state workers that come in aren't tested at all, it kind of reminds me of what people kept saying to me in the construction sector, saying, why are we prohibited from working? And every time I get on the road, I see all these state workers working, doing construction on the roads without any masks on at all. So the lack of consistency and rationale, I think, is something that we've seen during this this situation all the way along. But I just wanted to thank you, Congressman, for initiating this meeting today, and I would share your disappointment that that the governor's people didn't participate, so we can have a two-way dialogue here. And really, that's what I think my colleagues, when we went up to Albany today, were hoping to advocate for, to assert again our legislative prerogative to be a co-equal branch. And I would just say that if this fact would have happened, all I wanted to do is make sure that experts like this would be at the table. So the decisions would have been science-based as opposed to just knee-jerk responses to mitigate a bad decision. And I just had one question, Congressman, and you probably have answered this many times, but I just wanted you to state it again. The defense that the governor has had regarding his decision on nursing homes is that he was following CDC guidance. That is not the case, my understanding. If you could just state that again, why that is not the case.
It is clearly not the case. If you talk to Seema Verma, who's in charge of CMS, which is the agency that issues the guidance on this, we have the CDC and the CMS guidance document here. We'll share it with all the reporters. And I read extensively each one of these pieces of guidance here. And here's all the guidance. In black and white, you can read it. And I challenge the governor, show me where in this guidance it said you were mandated to send to nursing homes senior citizens that were COVID-19 positive to their death. Where does it say that in the guidance document? Because it's not in there. And for you to sit up in front of the nation and make that commentary is appalling to me as an elected official. And so I challenge you, here's the document. Show me where it says that COVID-19 positive seniors must be discharged to a nursing home to their death. You got 6,800 senior citizens in New York that died. I don't see it in here, and you're blaming it's appalling. So I don't have it here, Senator Jacobs. I'm looking for it. I have not seen any of that. And the day after the order was issued, the day after, March 25th is when your order went out. March 26th, the society at the national level that's in charge of making sure that the long-term care industry is represented and has a voice in this conversation, sent you a letter, citing these guidance, citing these principles, saying there is no scientific data, there is no guidance from any agency that shows that you need to order COVID-19 positive seniors to their death by sending them into a nursing home. Day after, within 24 hours of your order. It's appalling. Accountability is what we're looking for here, but also moving forward, how we're going to make sure we protect senior citizens in the long term.
Thank you for that, Senator. Thank you. Let's see if we can try this again, folks. You all should be unmuted, and you should have the opportunity to unmute yourself. I'm going to try to just call out some of the news outlets, and if you could just please identify yourself and just let us know if you have a question, that would be great. So I'm just going to start with 13 WHAM again. Great. WROC, did you all have a question?
Hi, this is Atia Collins from WROC. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Perfect. Thank you guys for holding this meeting and allowing us time to ask some questions. My question is that it seems that nursing homes that don't do this testing can face fines or lose their license. Can you talk to me a little bit about, it seems like they're between a rock and a hard place, so to say, that some of them are having trouble doing this testing, but on the flip side of that, if they can't comply, they're going to face some heavy complications. Can you just talk to me about the discrepancies between that?
I'll give Mike an opportunity to collect his thoughts, but that has been part of the conversation we've had with our nursing home facilities, our skilled nursing facilities. We've had multiple phone calls, Zoom meetings with them, including this one today. And one of the things that the governor is holding over their head is that they're going to either get fined excessively or they're going to lose their license to stay open. And so what does that really mean to senior citizens when you issue such a threat such as that? It means that those facilities are subject to being closed. It means that they're not going to be able to have the resources to care for those senior citizens that are in those facilities. So is the end game to close the nursing home facilities and kick those senior citizens out on the street? Because I don't think that's a good outcome. I don't think that's appropriate. So I would encourage the governor to reconsider his policy on this, come up with a best practice, cohort these individuals into a facility that can treat them safely and soundly, have those and be collaborating with these nursing home facilities to make sure that they have the resources to make sure that their communities are safe and sound, rather than coming in with a stick approach. I think collaboration is the word I heard in the prior meeting, that really in other states like Colorado, like Florida, like Maryland, were given to us as best practices where the industry worked with the governor's office to come up with a best practice that did exactly that. It allowed those facilities to stay open, allowed those senior citizens to be treated appropriately, and allowed the residents of those nursing home facilities that were not COVID-19 positive to have a safe and secure home in which they were living. So Mike, I don't know if you have a chance to think about your thoughts, but please.
Sure, I can just add, obviously this directive was issued on Mother's Day. I believe it was Mother's Day, if I'm not mistaken. And we had to be in compliance essentially by the end of the week. It gave us a quick turnaround to try to locate testing supplies, lab services, several labs we had reached out wouldn't return our phone calls. We did have, we were very fortunate to connect with Cayuga Medical Group, specifically here down in Chemung County, who's been a great partner to us regionally, especially Chemung County, Schuyler County. So it's a tough place to be put in, obviously. Our number one priority, especially as operators and administrators, is patient safety. I want to reiterate that long-term care community is not adverse to testing. It just needs to be based in a practical approach. And I think that's what everybody's advocating, a collaborative approach where we can all work together and come up with some common sense solutions. I keep going back to common sense solutions that are based in science and data. So I think Tom hit the nail on the head, so to speak, but that's kind of how I would answer that question.
Thank you.
Tom, if I could add.
Please, Tom.
From my perspective, since day one on this, with the initial order requiring nursing homes to take the positive patients, there has not been a collaborative effort between state government, the Department of Health, and the facilities in the industry. It's been far more threatening and antagonistic from my perspective, with threats of taking licenses, with threats of sending investigators in. If they didn't comply, if the nursing home doesn't comply with his orders, it has not been one of seeking input on what's reasonable and what's rational. And this threatening approach has led to a very poor environment for everybody in the nursing home and assisted living industry. And it's frankly appalling to me. I hope all the media on this call has seen those statements from the post-acute long-term care society. If you haven't, please speak up and we'll make sure you get those. But to have ignored that now for 2 months, over 2 months, to have ignored responding to that is a disgrace for the state of New York.
Tom, if I could also add something as well to insist with Senator O'Mara backing up what he's saying. There's also a, if you will, because the governor knows that that this is an error and that it's costing lives, but there's this whisper campaign going on that somehow assisted living facilities and nursing home operators are really rich and they can afford this. Well, I'm thinking about the ones in my communities, like the WCA home, which takes care of people, that's a not-for-profit. St. Columbans, where my grandmother was until the day she passed, that's run by the Columban sisters. You know, where is this wealth that they have to pay for all this testing? You know, and meanwhile, as you mentioned before, somehow the governor feels that this virus knows the difference between a publicly funded construction project and a privately funded construction project, or a publicly run facility versus a privately run facility, because there is no standard for state testing. So it's outrageously hypocritical.
Okay. All right. Crystal Cole with Spectrum News. Did you have a question? You should be unmuted.
No question. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Jeff Preval, did you have a question?
Yes, I have a question. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Probably to four of the healthcare providers. It was mentioned that the healthcare providers really didn't have a whole lot of guidance, or they needed clarity in terms of separation protocols. Could you be a little bit more specific in terms of the clarity that you do need?
I can speak to that. I think the lack of clarity exists around, maybe it was more of a rationale on the basis for the current recommendations and the initial recommendations. So I think maybe clarity and rationale could be used interchangeably. I think that the twice per week is not based in any scientific recommendation and counters what the CDC is asking for. So that sort of thing. In terms of the ability to tailor a solution, I think that has to get delegated down to a local level, and where before and even now it's really not. So there is a one size fit all approach that doesn't work for different communities. So as an example, in the previous discussion, it was pointed out that in many of the counties in Representative Reed's larger district, there are no positive nursing home COVID positive patients or staff members. And so the twice per week requirement is unfitting. It doesn't make sense, and it's a waste of resources. So I think that clarity around the rationale is missing in a lot of instances. So I think there's generally good local sense on what to do, but if policy contradicts that, or if the reality on the ground, so to speak, is different than what's might be happening in Brooklyn, then that's where problems arise.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. All right, Tom Puckett with WBEN. Did you all have a question?
Okay, first off, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
All right, following up on the nursing home matter, do you anticipate a meeting with Governor Cuomo and others from the state in the next few days?
I will continue to extend the invite 24/7. You have my personal cell phone number. I look forward to any of that dialogue, and I will continue to stand ready and available for that conversation.
And after hearing what the governor had said earlier, we're sending it after 6 weeks. What kind of message do you think the governor has sent with the change in his executive order regarding nursing homes?
I think what the governor has sent is he's more worried about the political fallout than the lives of those senior citizens and getting this right going forward. And he doesn't want to take accountability for the error that he made on March 25th by sentencing these seniors to death, by forcing them to go to the nursing homes when they were COVID-19 positive, and those other residents that died as a result of it. And I think that's just where we're at. And it's a shame in regards to the legacy and the dishonor to those souls that we're seeing as a result of where the governor is taking this. And so, rather than recognize, look at, we went through an emergency, we went through and continue to go through an emergency. We should be collaborating, we should be working together. And that's why I convened this stakeholder and invited the governor's representatives, if he couldn't make it, to be with us so that you could hear from frontline nursing home facilities, doctors, medical experts, and other stakeholders as to what the problems are with this policy is today and how we can move forward in a positive way. And for the governor 40 minutes before this meeting to say, oh, that's good, we're not going to show up and listen to these experts, just is a testament of arrogance and hypocrisy that is appalling to me.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom. All right, Lucas Day, you should have the ability to unmute yourself if you'd like to ask a question.
I'm all set. Thank you.
Thank you. How about WNY News Now? You all should be able to speak.
Yes, can you hear me all right?
Yes.
All righty. Thank you. I have a couple questions. First would be going towards the healthcare providers. I just want to get a bit of an idea of how much these mandates are costing you guys. Where's the money coming from? And is this sustainable for very long? How long do you think it could be sustainable?
I'll jump in terms of being a tester for our region. So we engage in testing our own deemed essential employees, as well as the nursing home employees, as well as symptomatic patients. Our initial understanding was that this would be, and by the directive of the governor through the Department of Financial Services, that these are deemed medically necessary and would go through insurance claims. That is under review at this point. There's some dispute that should not be the case from the position of someone who's in who must deliver such testing or arrange for it. That question needs to get answered rapidly. So hospitals and health providers are put into the situation of paying a vendor for a service and then not being reimbursed for that service from some payment source. So from my perspective as a hospital and a tester in our community, I'm neutral as to whether public health funds through FEMA or HHS or some other route or insurance payments pay. I'm neutral as to which one, but that needs to get decided. And if it's not clear to other providers, there'll be a dampening of testing. People will not test because they won't be sure they're going to be paid, which is not appropriate in many situations. In some situations, we're over-testing. I think most people agree the twice per week testing for nursing home employees is inappropriate. In other situations, testing is needed and it needs to be employed. And if there's not assured payment for that service, it won't be delivered. So I think we're in a situation, this is one of my themes of clarity is needed, certainly applies to this one.
All righty. And my second question is back for the congressman. And thank you very much, sir, for answering. Congressman, I know you mentioned yesterday that there weren't any either nursing homes or hospitals or any institutions like that that were close to closing, like say in the next several days. Has that changed since the teleconference yesterday?
Yeah, we're getting more and more feedback that is becoming a more and more realistic situation every day. And we just had additional input today from folks that have this burden on them that they've indicated a very short window in regards to resources they have to continue to cover this testing cost and the exposure that they have in regards to this burden that's being placed on them. And I think, and Nate, we can send out a post and as part of the post release. We had some good numbers in this previous meeting as to what this burden was, and I think it was $40 million. Maybe Tom O'Mara may have some information on that. But it was essentially about a $40 million number, if I remember correctly. We'll get you that in black and white. Mm-hmm. But it does beg the question, if the governor has $750 million for testing, and we're going to go through this process of, is it the health insurers? Is it the facilities themselves? Is it the employees' insurance that's going to have to pick this up? The question becomes, what's going on with the $750 million that's already been delivered from the federal government to the state to cover these tests? Why isn't that money being utilized to make sure that these nursing homes are not in a position of facing closure because they can't pay their bills?
All righty, thank you.
Yeah, Tom, did you have any numbers on that? I thought maybe you commented. And
I've seen it estimated from the leader of the Assembly Republican minority, Will Barkley, and their a statement that he put out a couple weeks ago that it's upwards of between 40 and 45 million, but I think maybe 42 was the number they used.
Thank you.
All right, I see Terry Frank is on. Did you have a question? Terry, you should be unmuted.
I don't think you guys can hear me, or can you?
We can.
Oh, very good. Good to talk with you all. I was wondering if the nursing homes here have been able to test all their employees yet at least once.
So I think some of the guidance we got from the experts, that it did make sense to have a baseline test performed. And I believe the nursing homes and the skilled nursing folks were very clear that they support that type of baseline testing burden. That made some sense. That made some scientific data-based results. And I believe that they've been able to comply with that, as all the indications when we had that exchange as the was being had. It's the overburden. It's the additional testing of twice a week that is causing this non-science, non-data type of approach that is causing real issues in order for them to maintain that level of testing services. And it's not just the cost, it's the burden on the staff, it's the burden on the entire logistics of maintaining that type of testing surveillance when it's not based on any science or data.
And I would add one quick to that, if I could, that there are nursing homes that are seeing issues with staffing because of the invasiveness of this nasal swab test, that they're simply just not going to endure this twice a week to continue to work, particularly when they could take time off and hopefully collect unemployment with an extra $600 a week if they can get through New York's unemployment system, which we're struggling with also. It's a real burden on staff.
Yeah, and Terry, just to echo what Tom has said, I spoke with an assisted living operator this morning who told me the exact same thing. They are struggling, particularly nursing aides, because of that exact fact. They do not want to have this very invasive test twice a week. They have options. Unfortunately, some of them are choosing options outside of New York State. So this is having a tremendous strain on our healthcare workforce. I'm sure the others on the phone or on the call here can verify that as well. And it's only going to get worse. You know, this is once again, a self-inflicted gushing wound that the governor has caused, and it needs to be reversed. Otherwise, you are jeopardizing the safety of our seniors that are in these cases. You know, the fact of the matter is we have no cases of nursing home residents or assisted living residents having COVID-19 in Chautauqua County, yet many could die as a result of lack of the care that they actually need because they don't have the staff to properly provide it. And then what is the governor's answer? We're going to pull their license and shut them down. Where will those people go? This is not the answer. The answer is to reverse this bad decision so that they can get back to doing what they were doing before, which is providing care for the most vulnerable people in our population.
Okay.
Thanks, Terry. Lexi with WENY, was there anything you wanted to ask?
No questions from me.
Great, thank you. Celia Clark, any questions from you?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, and thank you for the opportunity to ask questions. To the hospitals and the people there who are officials at nursing home facilities, I'd like to know if you've tried to get money from the state to help with testing and not been able to get it. And what was the procedure? Who were you supposed to contact? How was that request supposed to happen? Thank you.
Well, I think that's the question we had anticipated asking the governor today, Cecilia, with or his staff, because that's part of the problem. $750 million sitting in Albany, and there's been no guidance given to any of these folks in regards to how that's going to be processed, how that's going to be accessed. And even though that money is designed to go to this testing burden that we're talking about. So, Mike, I don't know if you guys want to offer anything.
Yeah, I can just add one of the only things that was actually clear initially was that the state was not responsible for the financial burden that this testing was going to cause providers. So I guess to answer your original question, I don't really know about how we would go about securing funds from the state when they made it very clear to us that they would not pay for this. Essentially, this was an unfunded mandate from the state.
So local government, welcome to the club.
Can I follow up on that?
May I just add into that? There was a DFS, Department of Financial Services, circular letter that put the responsibility squarely on plans. And there was a frequently asked question document. I can make them available to the congressman for then redistribution. But there's a dispute as to the legal basis of that mandate. But it was up until 2 days ago, everyone's understanding that health plans could get billed for the testing. And that turns out not necessarily to be the case. Another point of clarity needed.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right, I think I should have covered everyone, but I would just ask if there's someone that I missed, just please unmute yourself and go ahead and ask the final question. Otherwise, I think we should be set.
All right.
Great.
Well, we thank our fellow officials that have joined us. I thank the hospitals and the nursing home representatives for being here today. And very good input. And, you know, this is about looking historically at that horrific decision of March 25th and the 6,800 senior citizens that died as a result of that decision. But it's also about looking forward. And the offer still is extended here officially to the governor that we want to collaborate. We want to work together to find a solution that works in regards to these senior citizens' safety and getting the care that they need in order to get through this crisis safe and sound. And so with that, I think we're gonna move to adjourn. Thank you very much, everyone, for your time. And we look forward to talking to you soon.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.